Lechon, Yom, Parshas Tzmasei. No, it's July 11th, Chalches Tammuz, and we're up to Shir, what we'll call 64, in Derech Hashem. Shir 64, Wednesday, Masos Masei. It's the late Shir, Mitzvah Hashem, Bli Neder, until Elul. We're up to Section 2, Perek 8, Paragraph 2. July 11th, Chof Ches Tammuz. Okay. Okay. So this, we decided this is the last year until Elul. This is Hashem. Invitation on the wall. What are you doing? What?
No, it has heat on. So it was on heat. So I'm trying
to see if I can change it to cool. See, it was heat. And when it turned on, so now I'm
Okay,
there's an invitation on the wall for everybody. Well, no new model, though. Same model that was when he became a chassan. So it's the last class, that's your last chance to look at it in case you don't get a personal one. As they always say, no, the rose is there. As on he said. Okay, we're learning there Hashem, we're in Parak 8. And we're up to actually paragraph 2. And paragraph 1 is really talking like it's talking about Hashem's Hashgacha, which is what this whole section was about. And I'm just going to look over paragraph 1. Hold on. In paragraph 1, he just talked about Hashem is Tzadik V'Yashar, everything's just. And when Hashem sometimes disciplines us, there's Midas HaMishpat, but it's all out of love, it's always from love, and it's also because he has our best interests in mind. Hashem also tempers his judgment with Rachamim, he says, and therefore he has the right, because he's Hashem created everything, and any system that exists is only because Hashem created that system. So Hashem could suspend the rules of the system, and he could decide. And it's I'm not aware of any time where that's to people's detriment. It's always to the good. It's always that he allows Rachmanus to outweigh what maybe would be deserved when he decided, and sometimes he allows Rechmanus to rule. We can never think like that. The Gemara says if a person thinks that Hashem will look aside from his or her Averis, because Hashem will look aside from it, that's a terrible thing to say. The Gemara speaks very harshly about someone that says that. That really takes away the whole Schar V'Onesh from a person's experience. But the Ramchal is talking from the perspective of Hashem, because he doesn't want you to think that Hashem is tied to any system whatsoever, even the system that he himself arranged. And it makes sense because it's mishpat, it's din, it's justified, it's correct, and it's out of love and it's out of discipline. But Hashem is not tied down to anything, and Hashem could decide, as he does sometimes, for reasons that maybe we wouldn't be able to fathom, but he knows it. He has Rachmanus. Okay, that's one point he makes in paragraph 1. He also makes the point that since we have Bechira in things that happen in the world as a result of our Bechira, so in a sense Hashem ties himself to us, which is kind of outlandish, but that's what he decided to do. Again, in order that there be free will, in order that there be Schar V'Onesh, in order that that system be set up, So Hashem is locked into, hooked into that system as well, because that's how it would be the ideal system with Bechira, because Hashem wants Bechira, and Schar V'Onesh makes it a free Bechira, a true Bechira. Okay. However, he then says again, but Hashem is not really dependent on our decisions. Hashem's in control of everything, and he could always supersede anything. So he ends up saying, and sometimes the world, I would imagine, like Hashem saying he will never bring a marble again, is a very like stark example of this, where he's actually saying, look, the world might deserve to be destroyed again, but I am making sure there will not be another marble. Hashem had, he smelled Noach's carbonos. Now, how Hashem accomplishes this is not, he could supersede it totally. The Gemara talks about that he could bring a melech who will make gzeros on the Jews, and that will make them do tshuva because of the harshness of the decrees. There'll be a wave of tshuva returning to Hashem. That's possible. There'll be a realization. That's because we've strayed from the Derech Hashem. So he might do that. Or he might just suspend it because he doesn't want it to be destroyed. Okay, that was paragraph Aleph. In paragraph Beis, we'll now read from the text. Let's learn the last paragraph of paragraph 1, the last mini paragraph. V'nimtzu kan shnei mini hashgacha. Turns out that there's two types of hashgacha, two main maslulim in which Hashem is functioning. Hashgachas mishpat Hashem yisbarach. The hashgacha of mishpat, which is yosher, which is harva onesh, which is Hashem is tied, so to speak, to our actions, and that determines what will be happening. And hashgachas hashlita v'hayichud, he calls it. Yichud is because Hashem is singular, Hashem is unique. Hashem is above everything. Hashem is not tied really to anything. So that's Shalita and Yichud. That Hashem is the overriding master. And that's a maslul also. So how, when does Hashem, generally, we know the Ramchal tells us, generally he has the Hashgachas Mishpat. But sometimes he could have the Hashgachas HaYichud. That's what we'll call it later. In Das Tfunos, he talks about Mishpat as opposed to Yichud. Hanhogas HaMishpat, Hanhogas HaYichud. Uvishnei Adrochem Mashgiach Kelodi Yisbarach Shmo Tomer Al Bruah. Hashem is constantly overseeing everything that goes on in this world. Kinehu Mashgiach Hashgachas HaMishpat Lishbo Tomidus Kol Maaseh, right? He judges everything. And we had in the previous parak the whole fancy Beis Din Hashem set up for himself with judges and prosecutors and defenders. Umashgiach b'hashgachas hashlita. But Hashem is also looking out over the world. Hashgacha meaning that there's a ramification to his seeing what goes on in the world. He acts upon his seeing, his knowledge. Bashkachas Hashlita. Lekayim b'kochol v'yichotos habriya. Usually this would take place to be Mekayim the Bria. Maybe to be Mekayim Klal Yisrael. We don't know. We don't know when he pulls this out. And he says, you know, Hashem is not tied to any system. So that's Hashkachas Hashlita. Lotech rabaro ma'alo le'ibun ayodah. So that's why it was reminiscent of Noah, because the Ramchal gives, maybe it's only an example, but he gives this very stark example of saving the world from destruction, even though the world might deserve to be destroyed. Okay, we go on now to paragraph Beis. Mimashu Tzorach Shetei Da'od, another thing to realize, Kihine Gam Hashpa'oso, Hashem's acting, Hashem's influence on the Bria, Hashem, you know, making happen what happens in this world. Techolek l'shnei minim. It's two things involved. One is gashmias, one's ruchnias. That's all. Ha'achad ulama shel guf. One concerns mankind, because there's guf things, whether it's a personal person, or a sickness, or an illness, or the events of a person's life. Or whether it's the whole, you know, world history stage. It's also guf, that's kashmius. So that's one effect that Hashem effects upon the world. We don't think about this too much, perhaps, but the person, Hashem is always paskening what madrega the generation should be on, what madrega a person will be on, what opportunities for growth and ruchnius a person will be exposed to, that he has bechira, whether to take advantage of it or not. But these are all hashpa'os, these are all what Hashem effects upon the world. So the gashmius we know about, that's what we learn about when you read in the Chumash. Right, we read about Hashem sent the hunger, and Hashem did this, and Hashem did that. But we don't think about that. Okay, Hashem giving the Torah is obviously the greatest example of Hashpa of Ruchnius in the history of the universe, of the whole Bria. But then there's many events that occur in a person's life, in a nation's life, in a country's life, which set out for it. It's madrega in nefesh things in ruchnius. Mashal guf kvar biyanu in yano. We explain guf things all along here. Tainu l'mashal lahatzlachas ha'odam for a person's success, v'shalvoso and his prosperity, his calmness, his being at peace, inner peace, polam hazeh. And l'mashal lahaneshama. Who vamesh b'haskola v'yaduya through Hashem's, through a person's intellect and knowledge of Hashem. The person is supposed to study Hashem. The person is supposed to study how Hashem works, why Hashem does things, how He punishes, why He punishes, how tefillah works. The person is supposed to be learning this their whole lives, learning about Hashem. Through doing mitzvahs, he's drawing close to Hashem. And the person's spiritual qualities and advantages, just like he's deciding how strong a person will be, how healthy a person will be, how long a person will live, what will be his income. So in Ruchnius also Hashem is doing what will be this person's influences this year, what will be a madrega that the person is poised to reach, can reach. There are some things that are beyond people's capabilities to reach, certain people's capabilities, another person can reach there. Maybe the person will be in a shuffle madrega. That is also determined by Hashem. Hashem not only influences and affects our physical circumstances, but also our spiritual circumstances. And now he just goes on to describe that this is the way, this is so basic to the world, how the world was created. If you want to talk about the ideal, the best situation for the world to be in. So it's not just, okay, everybody has enough money, and everybody's at peace, and everybody's healthy. That's physical. But the matzav atov shel olam hazeh ba'emes, what really counts, because all those things I just said don't count. They're just the framework of your life, the framework of Hashem created a world that you can't even access your neshama except through the guf. I can't make myself closer to Hashem unless I use my guf to do so. I learn, the brain is guf, by the way.
I learn and I study and I do chesed and I daven and I try not to be do averas and I try to do mitzvahs. That's how my neshama becomes close to Hashem. That's how my neshama becomes purified. My neshama bonds with Hashem. You can only do it through the good. So when he says Ushiyah of the other to make him bachachma, bond with intellect, the oskim b'avod is bora, and our osek with their good, admittedly. That's not called, that's a good thing, but that the struggle is not really between the guf and the neshama. Not really. The struggle is between who's the boss. But the guf also, the neshama needs the guf. The guf needs the neshama to be alive, but doesn't want to grant it anything else. Wants to fight it. Guf wants to be an animal. It understands that to be alive it has to have the neshama, so it's willing to tolerate it, maybe throw it a bone once in a while. But the neshama needs the guf to do its task. Hashem imprisoned and subjugated the neshama to the guf, and the neshama can only bond with Hashem now through the guf. By doing mitzvahs. You need the guf to do mitzvahs. Neshama can't do any mitzvahs. It's trapped. It's in a prison. It's not happy about that, but that's what Hashem wanted, because Hashem had a cheshbon that this would be the greatest growth in the history of mankind, if possible. Purify and sanctify the guf. But it needs the guf, right? Because the Allah says in the Shar, I think it's Abbas Hashem, he talks about love of Olam Hazeh, and the serious people face, of course, in their, when he says, inability to have precious, he says, because part of the Nisayon is that I can't be a total parish, I need this world. I need to eat, I need to sleep, I need to take care of my health, I need to exercise, I need to eat the proper foods, I need to rest. I better take care of the goof. Once I'm taking care of the goof, so the goof has a fish on the line, right, and then reels them in. Right, so, okay, you have a little more. You might as well enjoy yourself while you're eating. Right, you might as well enjoy your food. Well, it's not so bad. But then you say, you might as well have some dessert, which you really don't need to live. So, okay, it's Shabbos. Yeah, that's an amazing thing, Shabbos. It's okay, unless it's unhealthy. And even then you can cheat a little. But Shabbos is an amazing thing. Amazing. Of course, let's say a person wants to be a parish, right? It's coming up to Seals of Sharm time for Shabbos. Everybody remember my challenge, my ice bucket challenge. So let's say you want to be a parish, because you know, you're really not supposed to overindulge. It's okay, you know. But Shabbos, really, for me, it's only Shabbos. So it's an amazing concept. The only way I can make sense of it, really, is I'm going off topic now. Hashem wants it to be the angel of Abba. And, like, the only. I guess, you know, so how do you even experience, like, super pleasure. So I guess I could have arranged it that you could listen to good classical music on Shabbos. So the neshama feels, and then the only, it's like to experience all of our thoughts. So our closest experience is to have immense pleasure. So there's certain halachas that govern do on Shabbos to get pleasure, and the food is one of them. Because we want to have a pleasure experience. So what's the point of a pleasure experience? Normally we frown upon pleasure. We frown upon it. It's not us, sir, but we frown upon it. But it must be that we're trying to get a taste of all of our thought, and that makes us believe in all of it. It makes us connect all of our thought. Like all of us on fantasy. worries. Worries. Oh, oh, oh. But like this, it's maybe reality. Look, this is all Hamal work. That's why El Mamor describes sometimes in almost comical terms, like a big banquet, a lot of courses, and fine wine. That's our experience of immense pleasure. So we want to have that on Shabbos. And it's really, I think it professes belief in El Mamor. This is Friday, we work unbelievably hard, right? You gotta get in under the wire for the benching. And then you relax and you have to do some exams. You have to do. And you're not gonna think about things that cause you to anger or worry or aggravation. Agnes Nefesh, it's awesome. Shabbos, you have some, because it's made all my blood. That's what I'm saying, it made all my blood. And food happens to be one of the pleasurable experiences that humans have. So normally that's not a good thing because we don't want people to enjoy all of the zen that much. So again, it was in bounds. You want to share our precious, you want to be inside. I mean, you know, you only take what you need, not what you want, all that. But Shabbos, those rules are broken because we want a person to have enjoyment because that'll give him a taste, that'll give him or her a taste of all of Habba. And it'll reaffirm belief in all of Habba. I think that's what it means. It's also, you know, not just, it's real. Every week I eat. So, it's not just to enjoy good food. I mean, that's what it is, but that's not the idea. Adonai Hashem has made all of Habba, so we should be less physical. It should be less physical. No, you have to talk to sleep Shabbos. The Gavan knows that you're supposed to have a Shabbos and food, certainly. You know, and I have tigers. So it's an experience all my fault. As much as we can, obviously we can't. So maybe a more spiritual experience would be like a Kumsitz, you know. Or well, we do things meaningless for that reason. You're supposed to, like, really, you know. But I guess, on a practical level, Hashem said, wear nice clothing, enjoy Shabbos, wear nice clothing, good food, camaraderies, tables, meals, and that's what all of my boys, you know, feel like, and so to speak, you know, we sort of know that all of my boys cool of Ruchni, but that's, we only have the tools of the guf to experience anything, getting back to the Derech Hashem. So the ideal way that the world is supposed to be is our spiritual status. That's his point here. That the point of the world is not, but we're all like that, right? If you say, show me a successful person, we will all point to a person who is, has enough money, lives in a nice house, has healthy kids, that's a successful person. We won't point to the poor person who's dressed in maybe secondhand clothes and he battles the way he's supposed to battle, learns the way he's supposed to learn, and was successful the way he's supposed to. You know, he's successful in his ruchniistic life, which is really what the name of the game is. But you know, again, I'm not giving anybody Muslim here. You say when we think success, we think happiness. We don't think halavai, you know, we should think, okay, yes, who's a successful person? A person that is able to learn more hours than an average person, a person that's able to do chesed. That person is able to have a fun way, dominate. That's success. So that's what the Chazal there, Ram Chal, saying here, that Amatu Hatobo, Shalom Hazeh, Behemes, who should hear b'nei adam to vake l'chachma, you're intellectually clinging to wisdom, the oski b'avodas borah, the endless goal you borrow, and it's clear, it's not murky, Now we're living in a world where everything's murky, good is bad, bad is good, up is down, down is up. Enemies are friends, friends are enemies. And the endless will be clear, clarity, and open will be hidden. Now good is hidden, right? Because we have so much suffering in the world. The Yiyah HaResha Nirda V'nichna, and evil will be knocked down, will be conquered. Again, it's a race with the Bahan. Something mushwach, a tarmis mushwach, deception will be thrown away. That's what people are going to be busy with. Right now, you're going to say, I'm busy. What are you busy with? Well, I know that the more time-saving devices there are, the busier everybody is. The more paperless office there is, the more paper there is. But then, this is what's supposed to be. Success is supposed to be measured by Chochmah, Tzveikus Hashem. Wickedness is supposed to be conquered. We're supposed to understand what's good and what's bad, clarity. Avodah in the world will be Avodah Hashem. Now, a lot of things can be Avodah Hashem. A person earns a living, goes to work, and has in mind, as per Chazal Kalbanis, that he's doing it because Hashem told him to do it, so that's not called Avodas Abuas, that's called Avodas Hashem. That's why you're doing it, to do the will of Hashem. Chalamizos Atovos Timsena the Sigmarno. People will be honest, people will be incorruptible, people will be consistent, Erlich, nice, pleasant, caring, loving. The Durachatma Midas Aros. The Midas Aros will be looked down on. And Simahasna. And then we will admire someone who is able to say a sharp word and put people down. No, won't be admired anymore. Who can they get there? He's explaining, he's describing a pretty ideal world. They want to know, like, where's the entrance to this world? This is the way it's ideal. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is good. This is what we would like it to be. It's not like that, he's about to say. But this is what we want it to be. This is what it would be, the ideal world. No health issues. Tzaras, Yehudim Baruch Hu, Masher Kvodim, Bukolim Bo Elomo, Hashem's presence, Hashem's Chinuch, Hashem's Kavod is obvious. The Sameach Al Masov, he rejoices with the world. It went according to the plan. He produced Diru B'Tachtonim, Umasov Shvechim Amazim Ufanov. By Hepech Chosev, you sort of knew you were getting to that paragraph.
Is that the world when Mashiach comes?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Or the way the world was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
The Hepech Chosev is sort of what we see now. Pretty depressing. V'yos b'nei yodam sh'tufa machar ha'tayva v'mo'asim b'chokma v'rchokim b'imena v'lo'ponim l'avoda ki ma'at o'klum. Well, Emes Arza, you're a friar if you are honest and if you work with the truth, you're a friar. For Resha, seemingly as Gober Masliya. Atarmis, which is deception. Vatobus Rabba. Vavolus Nochriel Ba'olam. Mabidus Atobus Nedaros. Mabidus, this is more like the world we are acquainted with, right? Amigos Rose and Souls, not in my picture. Amigos Rose, not in this room. Amigos Rose and Souls, oh, is there, and it's not an accident, it's not a coincidence.
And that's why everybody's stressed and everybody has service, because you describe a world where people are not clinging to Hashem, where people are not pursuing MS, where people don't measure success the way they're supposed to measure success. So there's tzaras and machozin, and nothing seems ever to work out the way you'd like it to work out, and everything is just one big mess, and you have to deal with it. It's not a coincidence. It's not like, oh, there's two things going on in the world and they're unconnected. One is that the avodas Hashem, the avoda, the morality, the decency of mankind has, you know, gone down, 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 and the world is extremely, extremely unstable. And now there's no such thing as only one part of the world being unstable. It can be a nuclear war, as a showing, because of one little country near Korea Peninsula, or anywhere, I mean. Right? It can affect the whole world. The world is unstable, chaotic, and because Hashem is hiding. Hashem is hiding his face, Hashem is hiding his aura upon him, because people are not welcoming it in. It goes hand in hand, it's not a coincidence. It's not, boy, you know, everything is going south in terms of Midos and Yerushalayim and just basic mensach kai, and you know what else was a problem? That the world was chaotic and everybody's scared to walk in the street, and they're afraid and they're looking over their shoulders and they can't enjoy life, and so much sorrows and so much diseases and so many. So the Reb Chaim telling us one follows from the other.
Well,
yes.
But when I think back on history, I can't think of a time when it wasn't. There was pogroms, there was the plague, there was this. Like, it always seems to have been chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's never been a time, yeah. Not in Orishon, that it hasn't been.
So it's not in Orishon's case, yeah.
Right, okay.
Okay. That's what he's saying.
It's not today. It's
well, when I said today, it's that. You know, the Gemara says there's some things that even the Goyim won't touch. And we're living in a world where they have violated all those three things. One is men wouldn't get married to men. One is that they would sell organs to the highest bidder, which is done in many countries of the world. And I forget the third. But like, I remember like all three are like, and definitely the world can be is more chaotic and more unstable, because it used to be if one country's economy tanked. Yeah? So now, if American banks fail, that has a ripple effect in Japan, that has a ripple effect in Europe, that has a ripple effect in the Middle East. The world is a global village. Everything's interconnected. That's much more unstable. One person could bring about the destruction of the world. Unleashes one nuclear bomb. And then they set back a nuclear bomb. And that's just, that's never been so unstable. Right? Conflicts used to be localized. People used to go to war, to the Civil War. It was like watching a ball game. The civilians would sit on the side and watch the war, watch the battle. They would come with their umbrellas, their nice dresses, and they would watch the fighting. But now there's no such thing as a civilian, there's no such thing as a combatant and a non-combatant anymore. Bombs changed all that. Right? Bombs, terrorism, there's no more army. War is not limited to the army, war is now in your backyard, in your playground. This one is war. And the whole world is unstable, so that's what I mean. And there's no question. Again, you could say the world was always immoral. It just hit it better. But the Gemara does have three things. Oh my God, it's just super red wines. Anyway, but it's not really relevant. The Gemara is just saying that two are tied together. Hello? Yes? Yeah, I don't know who this is, but you'll have to call me back in an hour. You'll have to, I can't talk to you now. Bye. And as a result of this, people are not tranquil, people are not serene, people are... There's no question that depression and anxiety are at total record levels than ever before in the history of the world. Your average person now, your average family, I gotta tell you, my experience, that the average family now, has 2-3 kids, one of therapy. This one has anxiety issues, this one has depression issues. Virtually everybody. People are nervous, people are stressed. And this is the Ramchal talking, this is the 1600s. He says it's makbil. Don't think it's two concurrent things going on that are both heading south. One is the result of the other. If you see a world where people are not stable and people have severe anxiety, severe depression, there's no question that the mental health of people goes down, down, down every year. More and more people are suffering. So it's because, again, I don't talk about the individual, there's a strong approach to each individual. We don't know how that works because there's a whole world out there. And if Hashem's face is haster astir, so sometimes we can't expect to be, if there's a gezeira, that a bomb will fall on the village. Because the village deserves it. You have to be a really special person to escape. Right? I told you it's concentric circles. There's going to be a shkocha practice on a village, shkocha practice on a town, shkocha practice on a neighborhood. And if you, a person, and then there's always, you could save yourself by being elsewhere. The Gemara says, my yasa adam minasu mechavi mashiach. Every individual has what to do, and he can be saved even from the greatest chaos in history, which is described as Heavenly Mashiach, right? So the word says the individual should do kach v'kach. Maybe sounds like a little more than maybe. My point is that what the Ramchal is describing is not two depressing scenarios with no connection. He's not giving one list with 20 items. He's giving one list with 10 items in Bechira things. And then he's giving another list with 10 items. And he's saying, because of the first 10, that the second 10 exists. That's my point. Who connected Zeh, a Hashkei Chosem, Ein Shalva, by Yisur Banazokin Rabim. I remember this already in the 1600s, where people were pretty good. The other Baruch Hu Master called them Eolam. Well, this is all because we chased Hashem, right? Chased Hashem away. The Goyim, they don't know. They say a joke, whatever. Ever since they chased God out of the classroom, they replaced him with chutzpah and with guns and with condoms. You should be Marchumi, and that's what took the place. Ever since they stopped prayers, right? The American Supreme Court is almost as bad as the Israelis. It's so funny to say the word Supreme Court, the degenerate court. The Warren Court, starting from Earl Warren, the 1960s, I think. He ruined the culture. And now, with the men marrying men, Shemir Achim is getting bad. Worse and worse and worse. If Trump would truly drain the swamp, would be good. But it's a little taste of what could be, but it's also, everybody has their flaws, and it's a blip on the screen, in my opinion. Pendulum's going to swing back the other way with a vengeance. On the why not? The Democratic Party now is an enemy of Eretz Israel. Why accomplish an enemy. They become enemies of the Medina Israel. Enemies, mamish. Someone just said, I think one of Trump's spokesmen just said he got slammed over the head for it, but everybody knows it's true that Obama considered Israel an enemy of the United States. Oh, wow, not true. All the liberal Jews don't understand. That's all they have, so if it's true, you know, they're finished. They don't have Hashem, they don't have Torah, they don't have Mitzvah, they don't have anything. Right? They're still voting Democratic. The other Baruch Hu, Master Kvodah, the Olam of Olam, Holder, Hilu Nezah, when they grab, the world is chaotic. It seems like no one's running the world. There's no Hashem guiding history. It seems that way. Because wickedness is winning, and Umbashulach HaTeva, it seems like things are just haphazard. V'nechadish Baruch Hu Sumeach HaMazim, Hashem is not taking pleasure with this, so to speak. No more Jews in the world. That's why they're Polskim. I don't agree with it. I know Polskim would say you can listen to music nowadays for 3 weeks because everybody's depressed. And you got to stave off depression. So I don't agree. But it's not a crazy. It's not coming from a modern Orthodox. I just got myself into trouble. It's not coming from a modern Orthodox mindset. It's coming it's still, I don't think it's the right fact, but you have to heal. This is a person. He's not alive anymore. The people went to and he saw everybody in one after another. Everybody's depressed, has sorrows, so doesn't know how to handle their life situation. Was fighting with the spouse, was fighting with the kids are fighting with them. You don't know. Everybody thinks that they're the only ones with sorrows, but I'm a rabbi. And I see like two people a day, and everybody has sorrows. Who do I go to? My sorrows. You're laughing. Everybody has service. Everybody has issues, and everybody needs someone to guide them, help them. So he says, although he listened to these words, it's written in the 1600s, Lo makir biyodin mahi simcha sabriyos, with name Mora. No conception of simcha b'Hashem. Walk around, happy to be alive, happy to know Hashem, be aware of Hashem. That's the biggest simcha in the world. Uzman kazeh haronim govrim atolim nishbalim. But it is very depressing. Veninza shena, or it's either depressing or it's today's newspaper. Veninza shena yushba v'menu yisparach shmo l'chomashim yinu shayim l'guf. These are all his main point, is these are all nefesh things. These are not physical things. These are nefesh things. Depression and the inability to be besimcha and to always be nervous and stressed and wickedness seems to be winning over goodness. These are nefesh. But Hashem is making this happen too. That's his main point in paragraph 2. Hashem is, Hashem is making this happen. This is also Hashem's desire. If Hashem decides how the economy of each country should be, Hashem also decides on the Oras Ponim that each country will have from Hashem and how its citizens will be living. They'll be in good moods, stressful moods, etc. Okay, we'll stop here now. First of all, I turn everyone's attention again to the invitation on the wall, please. And also, next week we're not going to be learning because Sunday is like a whole day. And that's something. And so we one day, and then the first week in Elul, I'm going to be busy recovering from the Sheva Brachas that you're forced to go to. They tie you up in chains and they drag you every Sheva Brachas. So I won't be able to come here. I'll be recovering from the Sheva Brachas from the night before. So Mitzvah Hashem, even though it's really early in August, like I think August 9th is the wedding. That means next week is August 12th to 19th around. I mean, it was starting around August 20th. What did I write? I forgot what I wrote. Well, it was starting the second week of Ezra Sashem. The second week of Elul. Chodesh Elul is Sunday. Shabbos is Sunday, as we showed. So Sunday is Aleph Elul. So the next Sunday is
August
19th. August 19th, yeah. Okay, so everybody. Yeah, so.